Well, here we go. It's Happy Hour again from Central City, New Orleans. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. Happy Hour is part of the family of shows on the podcast network. It's NewOrleans.com, brought to us today by Petite Pet Care, dog walking and pet sitting. Love and care when you're not there. For more information, you can get in touch with them at PetitePetCare.com. Petite is spelled P-E-T-I-T, by the way, in case you're wondering about that. It's French. Or you can also call them at 504-309-PET. When you walk into a bar in New Orleans and you pull up a bar stool, you never know who's going to be sitting on either side of you. What you do know is no matter what they look like, what they're wearing, or whether they just got out of a limo or just got out of jail, they're going to be happy to talk to you, because that's New Orleans and this is Happy Hour, a cocktail-fueled 60 minutes of random conversation with folks who have nothing in common, other than we're all New Orleanians in a bar. In this case, we're at Casa Borrega. Everybody has to practice saying the word borrega now.
Borrega.
I've never been able
no,
to do that.
No, Catherine is not going to give it
I
a go.
I took Spanish for 4 years and it never happened.
Really? You've been
no.
You studied Spanish for 4 years and
I
you
did.
Still
it
can't
never
say borrega.
Happened. I cannot.
Jesus, that's awful. You must be the
I
worst
know.
Student ever.
I did well writing and...
Writing?
Writing it
yeah.
and reading it.
Okay.
Speaking it,
no. Okay, well, no. I'm not going to humiliate you any further. Thank Casa you. Borrega, which I can say no problem, although I can't write Spanish at all, or nor do I know any. What is this?
Oops.
Is that a drink?
Wow.
No, that is not a
that's
drink.
Very
it's a
pretty.
That's a vase with flowers in it.
Okay.
Douglas Engel, our photographer, is bringing... Are you sure that's a drink? Okay, apparently it is. Where was I? Casa Borrega is a bar, apparently, and also a florist, a restaurant, and a live music venue on Aretha Castle-Hanley Boulevard. You can check them out on Facebook and Twitter. Also, you can come down here and join us anytime, or by yourself or with your own friends, and check it out. My very special guests sitting around the table here at Happy Hour today are a very eclectic bunch of New Orleanians. Catherine Clematis is back. Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Making her second appearance on Happy
yes.
Hour. Catherine is a New Orleans artist and designer. And she designs jewelry, but her first love is painting watercolors of her favorite animals or yours. Catherine takes commissions for watercolor pet portraits, which she has been doing for some time. She sold her first piece of art when she was 10 years old.
Yep.
So that was just 2 years ago.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Catherine is also the owner of, is this pronounced CAC or K-A-K?
I said CAC.
You say CAC? That's your middle name is A, is it?
Yeah.
What is your middle name?
My middle name, Amy.
Amy, Catherine mm-hmm. Amy Clematis. That's
yep.
very exotic sounding. Catherine's the owner of CAC Art. CAC, it sounds like some sort of doggy doo-doo or something.
it was a nickname I used to be called. When
oh,
I was
really?
Called. Yeah.
Who came up with that for you?
I don't even know.
I don't think CAC is not
probably
a
probably my
nice
dad.
Of, your dad?
Knowing him.
Your dad's a veterinarian.
He was. He passed away 2 years ago.
Did he? I didn't
but
know that.
He
I'm
was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He was a veterinarian.
Yes. And my mom is a veterinarian.
And she's still going?
Oh, yeah.
She's still working?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they came up with the name CAC, I suppose, because it's
I guess.
Some sort
I don't
of doggy
know.
Doodle. I wasn't far off with the doggy doodle
I don't know.
Thing here. Now, let me get on here. Anyway, Catherine is the owner and proprietor of CAC Art and Designs, in which she creates everything from logos for businesses to wedding invitations. She's also an author. Her coffee table book, Looking Up, is informative and inspirational. That's the last time you were on the show. You just had written that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would have been November 2011.
That was
yeah.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
It's an
right.
account of life from the point of view of New Orleans' shortest woman, which you still are you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I sell
absolutely.
You to everybody, New Orleans.
That works.
Last time we were together, you told me that you're about the same height as your golden retriever.
I am.
But now you have a shorter dog, I see.
I do. I have a shorter dog.
So you feel more empowered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's...
Because you're taller than your dog, so that's...
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How tall are you?
2'7".
2'7". There you
yeah.
go. Now, that's quite an achievement.
That's it.
New Orleans' shortest woman.
That's right.
Okay. Let me move around the table. Paul Summerlin is here, too. Hello, Paul.
Good to be here, man.
Good to see you. Paul is a New Orleans writer, musician, and neo-shaman. Is that Paul. Pronounced correctly? Did I...
However you like to say it.
Is
it good enough for me?
Is it shaman or shaman?
Whatever you like.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It's whatever you
I'm
like.
I'm trying to take a vote. Is it Spanish, by the way? Shaman?
I don't believe so.
Shaman?
Jeremy?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say shaman. I would say shaman, but...
I would say shaman.
Whatever rolls off the tongue better for you is good for me.
Okay, well, we'll get on to
after
it
all, it is just a word, right?
That's true.
Right.
I suppose it is. I don't know. Who made that up, shaman? Is it Indian or what?
Pretty ancient word.
I think it is Indian.
It's Indian?
I think it is Indian.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, shall I start again? Paul Summerlin is a New Orleans writer, musician, and neo-shaman who for the past 3 years has toured the world as the keyboard player for Grammy-winning pop artist Seal. That's
awesome.
Impressive, that sentence. Isn't it?
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm very impressed with that.
Yeah.
Paul has appeared on The David Letterman Show, The Tonight Show, Jimmy Kimmel, Ellen, Dancing with the Stars,
awesome.
And many others. Wow. As a songwriter, Paul's compositions and arrangements have appeared on the BBC Sundance TV series Live from Abbey Road, Without a Trace, and others, Paul's life took something of a change in 2000 when he had transgender... When he began practicing meditation and later yoga in 2013, Paul traveled to Peru to take part in several ayahuasca ceremonies. Wowee. Currently, Paul is writing what he describes as metaphysical prose with a cyber shamanistic twist. We've got a lot to get on with here. Here's Graham DuPont, who our fabulous producer just walked in the door as well.
Hi, Graham.
Paul's also producing new music and cultivating his healing practice here in New Orleans. Wowee. This is going to be quite an hour. And that's and I'm not even finished. Look, Jeremy Phipps is looking across the table at me. Yeah, now. He's like terrified look in your
eye. I'm always wondering what the paper says because everything is just so outdated online.
Really?
Yeah. You think? World.
Okay, let's see if we're right this time. Last time I introduced you, everything I said was wrong.
Yeah.
But everything I said about you was right, right, Paul?
Except that weird transgender thing you added.
Yeah. No, I just made that up. That's not true. Nothing that was true. Jeremy Phipps is sitting across the table from me. Jeremy is a New Orleans musician making his third appearance on Happy Hour. Welcome back. Jeremy was a sideman in a number of New Orleans bands, that's true, before graduating to leading his own outfit, St. Belle. True? St. Belle has evolved into a musical force to be reckoned with since their first EP, Food Coloring, in 2012. Their first full-length record has finally arrived. It's called Cold, Cold Wind. And it sees Jeremy putting down the trombone, picking up a guitar, putting on a glittery gold jacket, and taking over as the undisputed leader of a rock band.
Yeah.
It's great. I heard the album last night. I love it.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. And Cold, Cold Wind is out any day now, right? When you listen to this, it's probably out.
Yeah, it'll be out by the time people hear it.
Yeah. So you can get it on iTunes and all those other places that people normally steal music from.
Yeah.
Okay, talking of music, Andrew Duhon, who's our Happy Hour troubadour, is troubadouring himself around the country. He's currently in New York today, so he's not going to be here. So all the music is going to be provided by Jeremy Phipps and your guitar player, who seems to have arrived, Elliot. Hello, Elliot.
Yeah.
Welcome to Happy Hour. Okay, so where the heck am I going to start with this crowd, do you think?
What's a shaman?
Any ideas? What's a shaman? Okay,
yeah,
let's start with that. There you go.
What's a shaman?
Yeah.
Well, I'll see if I can do this briefly.
We have 60 minutes,
very
so
complicated
if you can make it interesting
term,
for an hour.
And one that I had to choose as wisely as I could. But in modern Western culture, when someone feels sick in their body, they go to a medical doctor. If they consider themselves as feeling a disease at the spiritual level, they might go to a priest or a guru or some sort of spiritual counselor of that way. And if they feel pain in their mind, they might go to a therapist or another kind of counselor for all different kinds of healing, or they might do body work or with other healing techniques. A shaman sees all of these problems stemming from the same source, and it's a holistic approach to all healing, which is trying to get to the source of all disease in the human mind, the human spirit, the human body, which are all connected. And so for me, the word shaman fits really well because my own experience of self-healing led me into that realm of understanding where these are all connected. And any dis-ease, if you look at the word disease, it's a dis-ease of internal things that we're working through. And shamanistic work, for me, fits very well at holistically bringing those energies together and dealing with them as a whole, to heal at the bodily level, the mind level, the spiritual level, all together, because they are in fact one and the same. And when we could go into the science, which I'm not the right person to talk about, certainly.
Jeremy can help us with the science.
But quantum physics itself is proving what I'm saying. The science is backing up my quote-unquote theory.
What is your theory? That everything that's wrong with us is connected in some way or other?
Well, certainly.
Okay, so
if we stem from the Big Bang, so to speak, if we were to borrow that idea for a moment,
right,
then yes, we are connected.
No, but I mean everything in your body that's wrong. Suppose I'm all messed up in some way or other. How would I find you, first of all? What kind of person is coming to you to be healed?
People who are ready to be healed in that way, and are realizing it in themselves, and are engendering a particular type of intention in themselves, where they are led and called, many of them actually, to seek that kind of work. It's a calling, just like anyone is, just like she is called to make art,
Catherine,
as the most perfect means of expression for her.
Right.
and it's a healing. It's a healing practice for her since she was a child. And whether that manifests as art, and for me it certainly does. I've been a creator my whole life in my own way.
Yeah, you're a musician, so you've been making music and making art your whole life.
And it's an integral part of my spiritual practice every single day.
But you're healing other people, like strangers, not just people you know, right?
Yes. When the opportunity presents itself, I do not force those energies on anyone until their intention is obvious.
But can you? Could you zap Jeremy or something? Or Catherine? Not
I,
me.
I would not, I would not presume to do that unless the
can
proper...
You, though? Can you?
I think I could if the set and setting were correct and the intention were correct. I think he and I could help each other a lot, and that's what this is about. It's not just about me helping him or helping anyone. It's about me helping myself by helping others because of that connection we spoke of.
Graham, have you got something to say about that over here? No? I thought you were pointing at yourself. Do you need help? Really? This could be a good experiment to try on Graham right now. So but this is not funny. I see that you're not kidding around here.
No.
So
it is fun.
But when you say
because when you see people heal, there's nothing more fun than that.
I bet that's rewarding.
Yeah.
But you're looking at Jeremy and saying you and he can help each other. What do you mean by that?
Because if I reach out to another fellow human being with the truth in my heart as I understand it, this is going to sound cliche, but to feel their pain, and that's precisely what the word empath means. Okay. I could just as easily strike all of these titles that I used to call myself or anybody uses to call themselves and just use the word empath, because if you just break down that simple word, path, am in pain. An empath is a person who is in pain. Doesn't mean, okay, I stubbed my toe or I skinned my knee, I'm in pain right now. That's a part of an aspect of being in pain. But in pain means you're living in pain, you're swimming in it, you're knowing it. You're diving into that process and understanding it. And when we're able to do that in the way that I call shamanistically, we're able to feel others' pain too and help them move through it.
Does anybody have a question before I go on about this?
No, he just explained it.
Okay.
Pretty
do
well.
You absorb other people's pain? So when Jeremy comes to you and says, I've got a problem.
There's a process of absorption, yes.
Okay.
And then there's a process of movement. And we have another really popular word for that too, and it's called emotion. Motion of the E, move the energy. And I have realized through the trials and tribulations of my own life that little did I know I was becoming an expert at emoting with all of the life choices I made and all of the things that I was reaching out for in the outside world and in the inside world. And when it started to click for me, I was like, this is what I must do, because I can help people move their energy.
So you're a healer?
Well, I mean, many people would simply translate the word shaman as healer. The only difference being is that traditionally speaking, a shaman heals from a holistic level and not just from one specific level, like a medical doctor might or a priest might or
a therapist. At one point, you weren't a shaman. At one point, you were just a musician playing in a band, right?
That's correct. And that's a fair question. When someone says, I think I'm going to rebrand myself now with this completely...
Right.
it didn't occur to me to think of myself that way publicly until it was an obvious mandate.
Well, some people would say that you're going crazy.
Of course they would.
That you're delusional, that you've got delusions of grandeur, that now you think you're a healer.
Yes.
So how do you convince someone, or how do you tell someone who's been your bandmate, you know?
I don't.
You show up for rehearsal and you say, by the way, I'm a healer now.
I don't try to convince anyone of anything.
Right.
I can live my life and share with others that I come into contact with.
But do people want proof of it? People say, oh, really? Call yourself a healer? Heal this.
The proof is in the healing itself.
Right.
And unfortunately, there aren't always perfectly acceptable ways based on other people's perceptions to receive proof of that by description, or it's the life that the person begins to live and their loved ones start to see changes in them, just like my loved ones have seen changes in me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the proof. That's the only proof that can really exist, is the life trajectory when the life trajectory changes significantly in a person's life for the better.
Can you see other things than what we see? When you look at Catherine or Jeremy, do you see something else?
That's, again, a very fair question. And for me, as based on the way I'm structured, it's more, again, it's more of a feel than a see.
Okay. Do you feel something different? Then, I mean, I'm looking at just two people sitting here. Do you see something else or feel something else? Like,
Catherine, is it okay if I use you as an example?
I have some experience with shaman. My mom's a homeopathic veterinarian. So, as far as that kind of stuff,
right?
Yeah,
if I were to use Catherine as a small example, it would make perfect sense to her. So I know I'm in
totally.
Good territory here. But
okay.
What I see / feel / whatever words we want to intuit. Every day of Catherine's life, she has the question, why? In her mind, in some form. And that struggle that never goes away, which is why her means of expression is so critical to her life and her soul's journey, because why did this happen? What's going on here? How do I live a life this way? And as much as she, more than anyone, has conquered that, the question will always remain, because that's part of the human struggle. That's what I'm quote-unquote getting from Catherine right now. And that may be completely off, but that's what I feel.
That would be fantastic if it was totally wrong.
I don't know that's totally wrong. I mean, you know, for example, I broke my finger last night.
Whoa, so
and
you
I
did.
Was like, how am I going to do my job today? Because I am, of course, left-handed. So, you know.
And so am I.
Typing, yeah.
Aha!
So, you know, well, that's good. That's a good sign.
Yes, indeed.
You know, typing and, you know, doing graphic design work when you can't actually.
You got a broken finger.
Use your fingers.
How did you break it?
Lexi and I were wrestling on the floor.
Wrestling with the dog.
Yeah.
So your dog is here. Lexi, the service dog is
here. I know.
She's
working right now. For real. I mean, she's.
That's a whole other subject. Well, so. Do you spend every day asking yourself why? Or not all day?
Not consciously. I don't think. But I mean, my life is totally different from everybody else's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally different.
Well, you would think, looking at you, that your life is a lot more difficult than everybody else's.
It depends.
You've been in a wheelchair your entire life.
Well, I have nothing to compare it to.
Right.
So how do I say that it's more difficult than yours?
Mm.
You know.
I think it's also important to cyclically absorb the energy that's coming from everyone else, too, in her inner world, because it's also everyone else who is asking that question,
mm-hmm.
whether you're asking it or not. The rest of the world is looking at you, Catherine, and saying, why? And how can she have a normal life?
Oh, I get that all the time.
When she's since she was never meant to have a normal life. She was meant to have an extraordinary life. And it's often us who are misinterpreting that based on what we see. And what we see is such a limited scope of what really is, and she knows that,
right?
And mm-hmm. I understand it too.
Well, I think everybody stares at someone who's blind or in a wheelchair or whatever, has some sort of handicap, and thinks whatever they want to think about them. But
it's a natural thing. Yeah.
Yep.
You must get that all the time. People must be looking at you
all the time.
I have my limbs attached to me, and I'm extremely fortunate for that. My struggle has always been inside. It's been an invisible one, and it's been there since I was a boy. It's ending up being a huge blessing for me, these years of depression or whatever diagnoses you want to call them.
You had years of being diagnosed?
Oh, yeah.
Diagnosed
years
depressed.
And years and years. And
how did you deal with that initially? Did you?
I did it. I dealt with it the way that the culture I grew up in taught me.
Which is what?
Which was with
doctors and drugs?
Yeah, sure. I did. I've been down every corner of that that road and found my way out of it, luckily.
So you dug your way out without being successful in the traditional sense at all until you turn to...
I wouldn't completely say that, because there has been tremendous learning and wisdom through that. It actually, one of the great things it did was it taught me how to talk and express myself, which is part of my work now. I wish to speak and share with people verbally and in other ways. And trying to sort out the mess in my head for all those years taught me how to do this with sounds and words. You understand because you make music like I do. We're trying to shape sound, and that's what words are. They're just sounds.
That's interesting because a lot of musicians don't like to talk at all.
And that's fair.
Right, they don't. I mean, yeah. You know that, Jeremy, right? A lot of guys want to make music and they want to talk about the music. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to articulate anything.
Yeah.
They just want to get up and play and then start drinking.
Yeah, exactly. It's most common in horn players, I feel like, because it's no way to talk while you're playing a horn. So,
it's practice.
The perfect way to have
to cut yourself off
the wall from the world when you're on stage.
So, what made you put the horn down for this record and pick up a guitar and sing?
Well, that was the wrong part of the
That's
said.
Not true.
Never put the horn down.
I didn't hear any horn. I didn't think on the record.
That's
is there?
Funny. Every single song.
Oh, I wouldn't get a job as a music reviewer.
It's not as predominant. It's buried in the back.
Okay.
And because I'm not so much into horn playing as a novelty thing, I'm into it as something that adds to the song.
As a part of the music rather than the focus of the music, which it was when you were up front with the horn.
Yeah.
Hey, let's have a listen to something. Are you going to be able to play something for us today?
Oh, yeah. Hang on the spot. That's why I like you, Grant.
Well, I could have went up to it somehow, but I'm fascinated by this drink that you're drinking. What did you order?
What does it taste like?
This is my drink right here.
Well, what is this?
I think they call this the flower bomb.
Catherine secretly ordered that. Didn't
I know. Like, what does it taste like?
Do you want to drink that, Catherine? It's got roses in it.
I don't feel
so that it's not a drink. I heard you order a drink, and then Douglas brought over this.
It's got lemons.
But what is this thing?
Seems like it could have been a drink.
I thought it was the drink. Well, thank goodness
it
isn't.
It looks like a drink.
It's been worrying me. Okay, let's take a listen to something, Jeremy. What are we going to do?
We're going to play a song called Sound the Alarm. I need to pull my trombone out there.
Okay, we can keep talking for a second while you do that.
Awesome.
Okay. Hey, Catherine, when we come back from the song, we're going to talk all about you.
Sure.
Okay, what do you want to talk
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Lexi for a start. I want to know all about the dog.
Lexi, here.
The dog is so cute. Well, what sort of dog is she?
She is as far as we know, she's a Sheltie Border Collie mix.
Well, we think both your parents are veterinarians. That somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got her from a Sheltie rescue, but she doesn't, there are things she does that she's just not full Sheltie. She's a little bit too
Play
big.
Play chess, for example?
No, it's just in her personality and the way she sits and the way her body moves. We don't think she's a full Sheltie.
So, I noticed that you've been feeding her treats nonstop while we've been
literally
it's almost nonstop.
It's, control.
But she's going to be so full at the end of this hour. She's going to be full of, I mean, she won't want to do
it. Oh, no. That would never happen.
Oh, really?
No, not with her. No, so she will eat forever.
So are you training her to be a service dog, or does someone else train her to be
I mean, we have a trainer that comes and helps us.
Right.
But I'm doing most of her training. There are some things I can't do that, you know, we've had other people do. But
so the cool thing about her, well, we'll get onto that in a minute. The cool thing about it is she does all this stuff for you. She takes a credit card off you and
she
takes
does.
It to someone
She's
in a restaurant.
Her main, you know, to have a service dog, there's only a couple of requirements. They have to behave in public, which she's doing pretty well at the moment. She's a little nervous because everybody's moving around and, you know, whatever. But also they have to perform one service for their person. So, you know, something you can't do, they have to do for you. So she picks up things for me.
That's her job.
Her job is to pick up things
so
for me.
I've been seeing on Facebook that you posted a photo. You posted a video of her at Café Du Monde.
Yeah.
Taking your credit card over to the cashier.
Yes.
And bringing.
Well, yeah, she actually took it from the cashier to me.
Okay.
But yeah.
And then I saw something with. Was it at home when she got the remote control for you for the TV?
Yeah, that one was hard. She doesn't. You know, dogs don't like certain things in their mouths. So metal is a really hard thing.
Interesting. Okay, that's interesting. I never thought of that.
Well, I mean, you don't want to put car keys in your mouth, do you? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know, actually. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
So, you know, like, metal is hard. She, for some reason, doesn't like to open her mouth all the way and grab something big, even though she'll do that with her toys, but I guess because they're squishy. I don't know. Well, that's whatever.
So what sort of things is she supposed to get next?
Like if I mean, I can do it in a minute if you want. If I take your pen and drop it.
Yeah.
She, in theory, is supposed to give it back to me. I, you know, like I said, there's a lot going on in here, so I can't guarantee it, you know, or still the
well,
reason her vest
the,
says...
Don't want to put her on the yeah. spot.
Well, no, I mean, it'd be good for her to try, but the reason her vest says in training is because, you know...
She's still in training.
She's still in training. But
so that's her, her thing is to get things for you. That's her yeah. sole mm-hmm. purpose in life now, then, is to get stuff for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And how does she understand that? I mean, how did they...
It took a while. I mean, you know, we started with a little pouch.
Right.
And she had to learn just to touch it. And do you want to...
No, keep
okay.
going. No, no.
She had to learn just to touch it. And then...
Here she is
stop.
Right now.
Once she learned to touch it, you know, she'd get a treat for touching it.
Okay.
And then after she touched it, she had to put her mouth on it. And then eventually she had to hold it for... You know, 10 seconds or something, and then, yeah. You
she's
know,
so cute. What's she doing? She's trying to get something from under
my
chair.
She doesn't probably like that horn, but she's gonna.
Oh,
get
she's
over
hiding
it.
From the trombone.
Yeah, she'll get over it.
Oh,
she'll get over it.
If you were
that
the
happens
one,
happens often.
Yeah.
and she's a female too, so you can see. Are women attracted to horned players?
Yeah.
Nice.
What happened to that fabulous girlfriend of yours, Nasimiu?
Oh, snap. Well, I just produced a song for that was in this little magazine that was like a week ago.
Yeah.
But we're still cool.
You're still together or she's a...
No, we're not together.
You're not together.
Well, we've been broken up for
a year and a half. Well, I'm really out of the loop completely.
Well,
I saw on Facebook that she moved to New York or something. So Facebook is my key to the whole world. I don't leave the house ever. Do you get out of the house much, Catherine?
Enough. I mean, you know.
You do?
Yeah, I work from home, though, so...
Me too.
You know,
that's a
I'm
thing,
home
so
more
yeah.
Than, yeah, this is...
If it wasn't for Facebook, I wouldn't even know what's going on.
No, I went to the dentist yesterday.
Oh,
so this would
no,
be the only, like,
bad.
Outing otherwise this week.
Well, I'm glad we could drag you out,
but... I think that's one of the problems with the world, is that people are only connected to Facebook and not...
Each other.
And
it's sometimes
ridiculous.
They can connect to each other through Facebook, but it takes great discernment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, what do you mean exactly? No, because Facebook gives you the complete wrong impression of what's going on in the world. I think with
well, it, what I guess what I mean by that in short would be we have to develop really good bullshit meters.
You can say bullshit here; it's fine.
No, I'll let you do it.
Okay, you goaded me into it.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely
yeah. Well,
true.
You do because everything on Facebook seems like everyone's having a great life except me. That's what I always think.
We're the
you?
Ones creating it. We can make it whatever we want.
That's true.
Well, that's what people do. Though.
That's totally true.
But it's still up to us.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's just two different things. One is making the life you want, and the other is discerning
mm-hmm.
the bullshit.
They're
but
one
everybody
the same,
is making
they're part
it
of the same cyclical energy that we have to understand in both ways symbiotically.
Why couldn't we all just tell the truth about what's going on? Then we wouldn't have to have a bullshit meter.
Because a lot of people don't know the truth necessarily. And we all have our own version of the truth. And that's what's so awesome about it. Because everyone's perception is meant to be different.
But everybody does know the truth. They just don't want to tell it.
Yeah, or they just
well,
deny
you know
it.
What the truth is? Life is pretty awesome. Like, it's pretty tight when you think about it. I mean, even what we're doing right now is pretty tight. Like, we sitting and doing a podcast and playing music. And, you know, when you put it on the internet, it always makes you feel bad when you see somebody. But as long as you understand that your life is awesome, too, I feel like you can deal with it, I guess. I don't know. But I just choose not to stalk people. I don't like stalking people. I've done it before, and it... Not on purpose, not stalking people, but you go through people's Facebook pictures and then
messages,
and next thing you know, a person that I never even met before, I know everything about them before I even met them. You know,
mm-hmm. You don't really know anything about them is the problem, though. You think you know everything
right.
about them. You know a whole collection of little moments of
right.
their life which have been self-selected to make them look awesome in some way, and that's your impression of them. That's why Facebook sucks, in my opinion. It's like the old MTV. You know, kids used to sit in their rooms and watch MTV when they were, you know, 15 years old in the 80s or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they got the impression that everybody had this awesome life except them. Because everything on MTV was super cool and everybody looked great and they're in bands and they had these stupid shows like Beach Party and all this crap. And all these kids are sitting at home everywhere around the country here as well, thinking, you know, everyone's got this awesome life except me. And now it's Facebook does that, except it's not just on TV. It's in your face the whole time. It's on your phone. It's on your computer. I think these kids today, the kids today, Jeremy, the kids growing up with this hopefully are rejecting it now, this next generation of kids.
Maybe.
Do you find that?
Talking to?
Well,
Catherine, you're with that generation.
I mean, I do a lot of, as a graphic designer, I do a lot of social media work as a business. And I actually think that it's going to end up being more of a business tool rather than a personal, you know, a personal place to, you know, express yourself.
That's how I'm using it more often.
Yeah,
now too.
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
who,
I mean,
who's
you can
pay
reach.
Attention to that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you can sit in your living room and reach 800 people in 50 seconds.
Yeah, but if you're doing that because you're saying, "Hey, I just had a glass."
Well, no,
of
I'm
water.
Saying as a business. As
but as
like,
a business,
right? As,
who's gonna pay attention to that if it's all just commercials?
It's all just business.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is you have to post interesting things. I mean, you know.
So you're posting interesting things, posing as someone interesting, but you're actually trying to sell something.
Sure.
Well, that sucks even worse then.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying as a business, like. You know, you don't always post like, oh, 20% off today. You know, I mean, that's boring. But right. Like, you know, like, okay, like the other day I posted on my page some saying about short people. Okay. And I got way more hits off of that than I did off of, you know, I have 20% off my Etsy store or whatever.
Right.
That
and then
was.
What do you follow that up with? If you like short people, you're going to love my
I don't
dot,
remember.
Dot, dot, 20%
I don't remember.
Off.
But it was funny and people liked it.
Yeah.
And that was the point.
But
you know?
The point was to make people like you, like the post, or eventually buy something off your
well,
website.
Right. But if they like the if they see the post and then they like the page, then eventually they end up seeing the 20% off or the
yeah. But
know.
We're just after them to get their money out of them.
Well, yeah, but that's
okay,
the way
well,
I
well,
see.
Yeah, as a sad
but
part.
That's the way I see Facebook and stuff going.
That's going
you know,
that
more
way,
and
yeah.
more. You know, it's less personal and more business. But maybe that's just because I work in that world, and you know, I don't know.
You might be
I
right.
I don't know.
I hope not. I mean, it's even worse, really.
Well.
Everything just gets commercialized,
yeah.
and we just use
yeah.
everything as a sales tool.
Yeah.
Well, moving right along,
yeah.
let's take our minds off it.
Sad truths.
But the other yeah. thing is that if it wasn't for all that, we wouldn't even have a business here. We wouldn't even have a podcast.
That's true.
That,
there
nobody would
go.
Be listening
That's
to
true.
It.
There you go.
So we can't knock
it. Not only
it
do we
bad.
make it what we want,
right.
but we use it. We benefit in the ways
exactly.
that we choose
there you
to.
Go. Okay.
And so at the end of the day, for me, it's a positive because I choose to see it that way and to use it that way.
What I got one question for you, then we're going to make Jeremy play the song fine.
Right
it's taken us 14 minutes to get. So what is the definition of Neo and Neo Shaman? What does that mean?
That's a fair question, too. One is simply is adding that to the front of that is in one sense is simply a matter of respect. For shamans before me that I've learned from and learned about, to you know, to claim that I'm one of them would nice. Not be honest. And secondly, it fits nicely for me because one, I live in the modern world. I live in a city. I pay taxes like all of us do. I live on the grid like you do. And I also work with an iPad, and I work with a cell phone, and I work with social media. I'm doing things in a neo way, a new way. And so that fits really well for me. And that it actually feels deep down to me to be part of the calling, to stick around. You know, there are people who are called to go far out into the fringes and find themselves. And I've had sojourns like that myself, and they're important, whether it's communing with nature or whatever it is anyone wants or needs to do to expand their consciousness. But right now, for me, a great part of my work is being in that neo so-called atmosphere. So that word fits really well for me.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm feeling some shaman. Right. So tell me if I'm wrong. When I hear you talk, I feel like you have to defend shamanism a lot.
Huh. That's weird. Because yeah. I mean, no, it's not weird. It's really more of an issue of being as clear as I possibly can, because it's such a complicated concept in the age of that we live in, and so much, so much delusion, so much confusion, so much manipulation. It does probably come across as defensive. It's more of a passion for clarity.
I guess when you say that's a safe question. Well, no, that's an understandable question.
Yeah, fair question.
Yeah, when I hear that, I think, oh, so that's questions that's not fair. That's questions that make you go, why would you ask that? That's just a...
No, that I didn't mean it that way at all, but I appreciate you pointing that out, because it is it's really just an iteration of, wow, yeah, it is a fair question, and it deserves an answer, clear of an answer as I can give.
I read that completely wrong.
No, it's all good. I see how that could have been misinterpreted the way I said it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Catherine, you've got a follow-up question before we make sure we play
something. I don't have a question.
That's it? Okay, that's
sorry.
It. We're out.
I want to hear the trombone.
Come on, let's do
Absolutely.
It then. So what are we playing? Which song?
We're playing a song called Sound the Alarm.
Sound the Alarm. Is it Teresa Anderson's on that one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's a great song. Let's take a listen.
Shine a light on us. Wake us from our dreams. Imagination runs free. You're the one who believes. My life is in your hands. You make me wait patiently. Shine a light on us. Why don't you sound the alarm? Because I can't sleep, waiting for my wish to come true. Why don't you sound the alarm? Even in my sleep, I'm still struggling to break through. Though it means nothing to you, the world owes me peace, but you break my sleep. Why don't you sound the alarm?
Sound the Alarm off Cold Cold Wind. Lexi liked it even. Yes.
Awesome.
She likes it.
Lexi
too.
Loved it.
Stop.
That takes a lot of bravery to do that. To sit there and just, like, right across the table from us and just sing that and play that trombone. Congratulations.
Yeah, very cool.
How do you feel doing that?
Well, I've gotten used to it. Back in the day, I used to do these loop pedal shows, and it would just be me alone on stage, and I would play, you know, I would just shuffle around on guitar keys, drums, and it was so, it made me so nervous that now pretty much anything I do, I don't really feel too nervous anymore.
That's cool. You can just sit there and do that. I think that, don't you think, Paul, as a musician, that takes a lot of courage, rather than sitting on a, standing on stage with thousands of people? This is much harder.
Yeah. But and it all of it takes getting used to, so the learning curve continues.
Yeah.
Forever.
Well, congratulations. So how's it? What's the deal with the album? The album, by the time anyone has listened to this, the album is going to be out.
Yeah.
And you've been working on this for a long time now.
Yeah. It took me a year and a half. It took me the first 6 months to write the songs, and then it took me the recording process took a year. And we didn't stop writing songs until maybe 3 months before we, I think in, we wrote the last song in December or January.
Who are you writing with?
Just me.
So we is just you, really. When you say we, it's like it's an insurance policy.
You know, when I say we, I guess I think about when I record the song, I have some other musicians come in, and I was working with this dude that was helping me produce it, this guy named Ben Lorio from Music Shed Studios.
Yeah.
And I got used to saying we, because it's like it was like me and him working like hours and hours on end trying to make it good.
But you wrote all the songs yourself.
Yeah.
So who are you talking to about Why Don't You Sound the Alarm?
That song is about being a musician in the 2014, when there's literally a million musicians everywhere, and it's all of us looking for the same thing, and it's gets hard sometimes.
What are you looking for?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Is it a fair question? That's a fair question. That's a gotcha, brother.
Yeah, you got it. That's a fair question. I'm like around so many different types of musicians. When I'm playing like these freelance trombone gigs, people are just looking for money.
Right.
When I play with these bands that's trying to push their career, like play these like original stuff, I guess they usually play original stuff, and they're like chasing a record deal or chasing. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning about that whole side, but you know, like chasing a record deal, and you know that whole side of it. And I don't know. I try to stay in within the middle of that realm, and. Mm-hmm. Not really the money side, but trying to focus on the people and just making the best music possible. And within those two realms, there's like a smaller group of people inside of the, if you was doing like a Venn diagram, inside the middle, there's the people that's trying to make music for people. But, you know, you have to get money sometimes when you make it your job, like it is for me. I just have to make money to live. And then on the other side of it, they focus so much on, and make some people get so focused on getting a record deal that they forget, oh, you know, we're still doing a show for people, and you know, these people are important in their own way. And they'll be like, yeah, this show is more important than this show because this PR person is here or this record label person. And Teresa Anderson was the one that told me, you know, she just was like, this could be your last show. Like, this is, like, think of every show like this could be your last one. And what are you doing for the people that's in this room right now? And what you doing?
That's a good piece of advice.
Yeah.
What are you looking to do with the album? Are you looking for the album to get songs played on the radio? Or how does it work now? What's the next step? Now you've gone to all this trouble and you made this thing. It's finally done. What do you do?
The next step is I'm still learning about, actually. But
well, Paul is an internationally successful musician. Yeah.
That's a stretch.
If you have a question. Well, Seal, you don't get any bigger than Seal, do you?
Well, he's an international star.
You're in his band.
Work for him.
But he could hire any keyboard player he wanted in the whole world, I would think.
Well, he's my brother.
There you go. So you must have something going on. So you must have a few clues. What would you advise Jeremy to do with this record that's just come out?
I would only advise him what I've had my own personal experience doing, which is exactly what he's doing. And share it. Whether it's the live show he's talking about, one claiming that this one is important than the other, or whether it's putting one's creation out. You know, we were talking about this whole monetization issue that we all deal with as entrepreneurs, and Catherine, and we're talking about how this monetization issue that we have to grapple with. And the first thing that popped in my mind when Catherine was describing her situation was thinking about going over her materials again recently and seeing how much she gives away to draw interest and to draw interest in her work. And so it's not just about money grabbing. It's about sharing ourselves. And it cycles back to what you said about the live performance. We gotta touch those souls in the room that have gathered in that space to share music with us. And that's the only thing that matters in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's what we build upon. That's what we monetize. And that's hard work, but we have to do it because we don't get a job in this life. We make one.
It's almost like it's a perk when it pays. You know, like, I mean, you know, you like, at least for my, you know, a certain amount of my artwork, you know, I do it regardless of whether it's going to pay or not. But like, you know, if I do a painting and I do it just because I feel like doing it and it happens to sell, well, that's great.
Where does your inspiration come from?
I mean, I like to paint animals. If you look at my website, that's basically all it is.
I like the frogs and the elephants a lot.
Thank you. I just finished
They're my
those.
Favorite.
Thank you. they actually have to get to the framer this week.
So you just painted them for yourself. You just like frogs.
Yeah. I found a picture.
Dude,
and
you got to see it. They're blue. Have you seen the blue frogs?
No,
oh, man.
I have not.
I posted them Monday.
The blue frogs maybe? Are outstanding.
Monday or Tuesday? Yeah. I found a picture and I just said, oh, that's really cool. That would make a really cool painting. I mean,
do you have a routine each day? Do you work?
No. I mean, I don't, you know, painting for me is a privilege. I am a graphic designer by profession. So because I have to make some kind of money somewhere, you know, that's what usually has to come first. So if I have, get down. If I have clients, sorry about that.
Paul, really?
I suddenly looked a lot like a collie.
Do you need a treat too? No, I'm kidding. Anyway.
Here's the blue frogs. Oh my God, look at those paintings.
Yeah, that's
yeah, there it is.
Oh my
and
goodness,
about
that's a
this
painting?
Thing. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Hey, if anyone's listening and they want to go right now and look at
that's
it,
right.
What's the website called?
I'm on Facebook, KAK Art, KAK Art and Designs, and it's kakartnola.com.
The first thing I felt when I looked at that again today was soulmates. Those they're soulmates. Those two frogs.
Yeah.
That
and
is.
I mean that's probably part of what drew me
painting.
To the picture. You know.
So that's a painting of a photo.
It is a painting. Yes.
It's a painting of a photo that looks so realistic. Other than being blue, are they really blue? Those frogs.
Yeah, poison dart frogs.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Okay. Graham's looking at me like you're an idiot. Okay. So talking about making money, it says here on the bio on your website, it says your clients include musicians, medical professionals, salesmen, event planners, floral designers, private investigators.
Yeah. What's I've done a logo. Plural. And
how many private investigators do you have as clients?
Only one. And I did a logo and business set for them, you know, and it was, you know, logo, business cards, letterhead. You know, the works for them.
That's a pretty interesting profession.
Yeah, it was fun.
Do you get to meet all these different people and talk about their business? Does their logo have to reflect their business?
Yeah, I mean, their logo, you know, on some level I meet them. Those particular people, you know, I work in person. But, you know, some people I don't meet. You know,
really?
And this is interesting that I'm sitting with two musicians because my favorite people to work for are musicians. I love the music industry. It's so much fun to work in. And it's so much fun to design for. And I actually, like, the last 6 months or so, started working with a lady out of Atlanta who is very talented. She's a music marketing guru, basically, who started her own marketing firm. And you got to send me some stuff, and I'll pass it on. But she, her biggest client is Styx. So I get to do all of their social media posts, which is like, Hang on.
You do social media for Sticks?
I love Sticks. Yeah. Well, the thing is, my parents played Sticks. You know, I mean, that was
right.
Their favorite, you know, their Sticks. Favorite band. And
what's the big Sticks song, single?
There are so
Sail
many.
Away, Come Sail Away.
Sail
Blue
Away.
Collar Man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of them.
They did some Lady Babe. Big power ballads, too.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah, well, I was trying to think of one. I can't.
Lady well, you Babe.
Babe. Yeah.
Babe's
a good one. The best of time. That was Sticks, too, yeah. in their ballad days.
The Grand Illusion.
Yes.
Is their big album. Yeah.
Okay, so you do social media.
Yeah,
for
so
Sticks.
If you go so on Facebook yes. and you see this cover photo in there, I did those. I designed those. Which is like
okay, now
insane.
We're real. I thought Paul was a big deal.
No, that's my
band.
Only
now
thing.
Now I hear
that's
that you're
it, that's
doing
all
social
I have.
Media for Sticks. Sorry, Paul, but
that's
it's all good.
That's like my only big, you know, anything. But it's awesome.
That is hilarious.
I mean, and I haven't met them. I've talked with their manager once, but I, you know, I've never met them. But you know, it's really, you know, I'm designing for their music, so it's not as much having to meet them or anything like that. To, you know, because they put themselves out there, and you know who they are, and you know what they're trying to portray. So
I don't have any clue what they're trying to portray.
Well, what, they're just a, you
guys
know,
who are still
classic rock current. Fans.
Yeah, right. How yeah. old are the guys in Sticks? Yeah. In the 60s, I guess.
Huh.
Are they 60?
About, right?
I would guess.
Something yeah. around there?
Yeah.
About. Who are these other musicians I see you with on Facebook? There's some other bands that you like.
My hobby / addiction is live music. I love live music. Right. And we go to as many concerts as I possibly can afford. I have a couple of bands I really follow. And, I mean, we've... I have a really good friend who's as crazy as I am that lives in Alabama, and she and I have traveled a long way to see bands. I mean,
who are they? Who are your favorite ones that you follow?
I prefer country music, but I like other stuff as well. But
Weston.
Sugarland and Little Big Town are the
love
two.
Little Big Town.
Oh my God, they're like the nicest
bring
people
it
in the world.
Home to me.
Oh, I know. Phillip's song. Voice is like, but yeah. Anyway, we saw them five. For 6 times last year. I mean, all around.
So you travel around the country?
Yeah, I mean, the furthest we've gone is Wisconsin, which was crazy. But
yeah, that is crazy.
We did 35, was it? I think it was 3,000 miles in 6 days in the car. It was crazy. And stayed a different place every night, and it was...
Are you drinking like crazy in these things?
No, no. I mean, a little bit, but not, no.
So it's not like a wild rock
no,
and roll
no,
party?
No, no, no. No, we're too tired. I mean, we get, like, you know, 3 and 4 hours. You know, the musicians get to get on a bus and go to sleep. We don't get to do that. You know, we go into the hotel room after the show, we sleep for 3 or 4 hours, and get up and have to follow them. You know,
we have
so.
To follow them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's
oh my
after
God.
A week of
you
it, it's
funny.
Pretty exhausting, but it's fun. We have a really good
are
time.
Are you on first name terms with these people? Do you know these
Little
guys?
Big Town, yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, I'm.
So what
Kimberly,
do they think of
the
you?
Blonde.
Like you're like a stalker or crazy
no,
fan?
No, no.
Or what are they thinking?
No, they're really cool. I mean, Kimberly the blonde, we tweet back and forth all the time.
Okay.
And, she's. They're really, really nice people.
What's the name of the band again?
Little Big Town.
Little Big Town. What? And that's country music. I don't even never.
Yeah,
heard
they sing. I guess their biggest song is Boondocks.
Boondocks and Bring It On Home to Me.
And Pontoon. Yeah.
Do you know these guys, Jeremy?
Come
that
out.
Song, Little Big Bring Town. It On Home to
it's
Me.
A,
sounds
it's
familiar.
A great track.
It's a great song. Yeah.
Can you sing a bit of that for
no,
us?
No, you don't want me to sing that. He can sing that.
I don't know the lyrics, so I'm going to...
I bet there's a lot of songs called Bring
I'm
gonna It On
back
Home.
Right out of that
okay,
one by saying the words.
I'm going to make Jeremy play another song, though. What do you think about that for an idea? Because we're running out of time viciously here, so if we're going to hear another
oh, wow.
song, we have to do it now.
Let's do it.
Okay, what are we going to hear this
time? We're going to hear a song called Opinions.
Opinions, and it's this is off Cold Cold Wind as well? Yeah. I like the cover of Cold Cold Wind. It's the back view.
Oh, cool.
It's you walking away, which is unusual.
Yeah.
Is that a statement of some sort?
It is a statement, but not for that reason. I did it, the cover, on a block that I grew up in. And wearing a sequin jacket on a block that I grew up in is like, that's like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
And everybody, and when I was taking a picture, everybody's just looking at me like, you know, with those wide eyes.
What part of town was that in?
I'm uptown in the Third Ward around General Taylor and Durbany, mm-hmm. Claiborne area. But anyway, Yeah. So
what are you saying with that photo?
Well, I just want to bring everything full circle, because I like got to travel and do a whole lot of stuff in here and be like introduced to so much stuff. But then, you know, when once you start to do that, you can't really coexist sometimes with people that you grew up with. You can't really like have talk conversations and talk to them. But until you get to that point where you're just saying to yourself, oh, you know, this is just me, and, you know, accept it. And
do you think you've changed that much?
I don't think I've changed, actually, but it may look like it. And I'd go to different things than I would go to when I was younger. But I don't know. It was important for me to be a black person inside of a hood place and be able to still make art and still be able to experiment. And that was like one of those experiences that makes me more comfortable to do things like this, like just being, because it's, you know.
But there's no shortage of black entertainers in America, though, or even in New Orleans, especially.
Yeah,
it's true, but I think it still takes a lot of courage to do even something that Prince does, or even something that, I know Andre 3000 gets out of it sometimes. All those people that's still accepted by the black, you know, I hate to use these terms, the black community and the hood community, and, you know.
You mean to retain some credibility with where you come from?
Yeah,
and exactly. Still be successful.
Exactly.
And do you feel there's some sort of stigma against being successful in the white world from the black community where you come from?
Sometimes, yeah. They have that whole you change thing, and they have that. And I get that all the time. Like, I get... And I'm not even a, you know, I wouldn't consider myself a successful person, but just by going and doing different things and being a part of stuff and traveling, and it's just not something that people from my neighborhood usually do.
And is it a jealousy thing that people have about that?
I don't think it's a jealousy thing.
So what's their criticism? What would their feeling? From their point of view, what do they feel about you that's so... You haven't changed at all. You seem like a humble, nice person.
Yeah. How do I put this? So, they just look at you like... I get those statements saying you're not like a real black person, or you're not from the hood. Like, you know...
Yeah, but what have you sold out, in their opinion? How have you sold out? Because you're successful, because white people like you?
I'm not successful.
What in their mind, though? What
just
are
they by, like, I have a lot of white friends. I travel a lot. I, like, do things that people from my neighborhood wouldn't do. Just in general. It's a real general statement, because, and I know it with time, and if I was to become successful, it would become even more and more of a separation between me and the blocks where I came from.
Well, that might cross over to another dimension, though, in that sense. If you're super successful, like you were Prince or Andre 3000, maybe you'd be so successful that everyone would want to be your friend because they'd be proud to know you.
Yeah.
That might be a whole new world that you'd be in at that point. Let's see.
You know, I'll be able to explain this better tomorrow. But right now, with mics in front of me, it's like... lost with my words, but
that's a good thing to think about, because it's obviously something that's, you know, relevant to you.
Yeah,
as you travel through life and you go back. I mean, when we started talking about this, because that's a statement you wanted to make on the cover of your first record.
Yeah, and I'm preach to the choir. I feel like the messages that I say, somebody would, you know, like. Being accepting of gay people, or being healthy, or, you know, if I tell that to anybody else like that I didn't grow up with, it'll be just be like, oh yeah, that's just what you do.
Right.
But then it doesn't really serve them any importance if I'm just telling people the same thing over and over again. So, but the people that I grew up with are the people that actually need to hear the stuff that I want to say. But a lot of times, once you get caught up in, you know, once you start to move along away from them, you forget that those are the people that actually need to hear. That's the people that need the message that you're trying to give. And I write the songs with message in mind first. It's always the message, and then the song. That's just how it always went. It's like how it always meant.
What's the message in the song you're going to play right now?
Oh, you'll find you. It'll be obvious once you hear it.
Okay, let's hear it. Was called Cold Cold Wind, and the band is called Saint Bal. Leader of the band is Jeremy Phipps. Jeremy, thank you, and thank you to Elliot for playing guitar as well. A very nice job, and thank you for Lexi for backing vocals
and percussion.
And percussion, very nice. Catherine, thank you very much for helping.
Oh, no, thank
letting
you.
Lexi sing along with the song.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That was good.
She's very vocal.
That was her first singing job.
That was it. We could put her on her next album if you'd like.
Actually,
yeah, absolutely.
I kind of like it.
It was kind of in tune, I thought, actually. Was it?
No, when she was telling that
When she was saying, oh, be quiet, I was thinking, oh, that was kind of tight, though.
That was
tight. Yeah, totally.
That was great. Hey, you guys, we're all out of time. We got to get the hell out of here because they have to start serving here at Casa Borrego, and they want to get rid of us and use our table to actually have paying customers.
No worries.
Rather than us drinking their free drinks for them. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining
What a pleasure.
Yeah. It's been a great, great show. Paul Summerlin, Jeremy Phipps, and Catherine Clematis, and Lexi the dog.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. That's our show. That's Happy Hour. Our producer is Graham DePonte, who's standing right over here. Our associate producer and technical director is Chris Kehoe. Behind us, Christian Unruh as our music director, and Joshua Brown as our music coordinator. The theme song that you're currently listening to was written and is being played by Mitch Foreman. The fabulous audio quality of this show is brought to you in part by PreSonus Audio Electronics. You can find out more about them at presonus.com. If you'd like to be on our show and you can stay sober for about an hour and sit upright around the table here at Casa Borrego, drop us a line. Our address is on our website, where you can also find out plenty of other happy hours to listen to, as well as our other shows, Out to Lunch with Peter Ricciuti, Live from Commander's Palace, Mindset with psychiatrist Dr. Nick Pajic, True to the Game with Chris True and Tammy Nelson, Vietnola, our show about the New Orleans Vietnamese community with Kim Vu, and Midnight Menu Plus One with Margot Moss and the man who ate New Orleans, Ray Canada. You can keep up with us on Facebook, on Twitter, and a bunch of other time-sucking social media that's all just going to be used to sell us crap eventually. On all of it, where It's New Orleans, you can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com, our website, and on our Facebook page. All these photos were taken by the fabulous Douglas Engel, who's wearing a second outfit of the day in blue beads today for some reason. If you listen to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Swell, or any other podcast app, thank you for subscribing to us, and tons of you do. Thank you so much for that. Take a moment to rate and review us. That does help other people find us, which we'd appreciate. Our show is recorded live today at Casa Borrego, which is a bar, a restaurant, and a live music venue on Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard in Central City, New Orleans. Happy Hour is a production of INO Broadcasting. For itsneworleans.com, for Andrew Duhon, who may or may not be back here next week, and for everyone sitting around the table and back at the office at INO Broadcasting, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week here on Happy Hour.